Thanks to Brilliant.org for sponsoring this. More on them in a bit. Jack here with another Starship update. And the big news this week is, of course, that it finally happened. An historic 31 engine static fire with Booster 7. Join us as we talk about the results of that test and the rapid and ongoing installation of the water deluge system at the pad. Right off the bat, we have the rapid and ongoing installation of the water deluge system that was delivered from Kennedy Space Center last week. The tanks and other items were transported from the port to Starbase basically immediately after they arrived, and installation of them began shortly after. These clusters of long, thin tanks here are typically used to store high-pressure gases, normally helium or nitrogen. Their use for the deluge system could be to pressurize and push water to the pad, in place of a huge water tower or large pumps, or maybe in combination with a water tower and pumps. Next up for the deluge system, some plumbing in the form of a large manifold was installed on the new foundation just below where the four water tanks ended up. It's closed off on one side and has four inlets coming in from the top to receive water from the tanks, so this seems to be the start of the water pipeline that will carry water to the pad. Speaking of those four tanks, they were lifted up and into place above the freshly installed manifold. The exact layout and operation of this system is still not fully known, so more time will be needed before we figure it all out. The installation of these tanks on the new foundation to the west of the orbital pad all happened in a matter of a few hours. Now, they're too small to contain all the deluge water needed for a deluge system, so more investigation and speculation even might be needed to solve the puzzle and connect the dots. Meanwhile, over at the Rocket Garden, work has begun to prepare Ship 24 for Starship's first orbital flight. That is, the removal of the crane lifting points that we talked about last week, and, now, the addition of metal plates that cover up those holes. As we discussed last week, the crane lifting points were removed, but now, metal plates have been put in place over the attach points, which sealed up the space that would have otherwise been a void that could cause serious problems with heating during re-entry. They've even begun to install some tiles over these covers. Next up, the Raptor installation platform, which is used to install or swap out Raptors while a booster is on the orbital pad, was moved back to the production site. It's been sitting at the launch site for over a year, so it's not clear why this happened, but it could be that it was to protect it from Booster 7's static fire, or perhaps it's undergoing some upgrades, or maybe even just repairs. Over in the mid-bay, work on Ship 27 continues, although, interestingly, stacking of its various remaining parts has not happened, which would of course take place in the high bay. While more and more parts are appearing for future vehicles, SpaceX might be taking stacking and construction slow as they still need to test prior vehicles. We've also seen SpaceX partially constructing and then scrapping vehicles before. Think Ship 17, for example. So perhaps Ship 27, for whatever reason, is not long for this world. Speaking of not long for this world, Ship 22 scrapping continues, with its common dome section heading over to the scrapyard and being torn apart. In contrast to that, though, Ship 22's nose cone lives on, hanging out outside Tent 3 along with a test nose cone that we expect will be, well, tested in the near future. What might they be testing? It would certainly make sense to test the cone at the loads expected on the vehicle at max Q, as well as any other forces on the part of the vehicle during flight. Of course, the big ticket item this week was Booster 7's historic static fire. And the first step towards that was the lowering and removal of the dance floor. This, again, is the work platform that sits underneath the launch mount. Obviously, it needs to be removed prior to any engine testing. And what a test it was! Let's talk about all the things we saw and everything we learned. But first, speaking of learning, thanks to Brilliant.org for sponsoring this video. With Brilliant, you get fun and interactive lessons in all kinds of STEM topics that helps you achieve your goals and learn more effectively than just watching or reading something online. Brilliant lets people access college-level information without having to attend a four-year school or spend a bunch of money. Whether you want to do a deep dive on coding or just brush up on everyday math, Brilliant has a course for you, and new courses are added monthly. Speaking of new courses, Brilliant has recently added the Introduction to Algebra course, which is something I'm particularly thankful for as, believe it or not, I wasn't the most stellar student in middle and high school. Even for topics that seem daunting, as math does for me, learning a little bit every day can add up over time and help you expand your knowledge base and comfort with all manner of concepts, including math. To help out our channel and your brain, head on over to brilliant.org to try out everything they have to offer for free for an entire 30 days. Just visit brilliant.org/NASA spaceflight or click the link in the description. The first 200 people to sign up will also get 20% off an annual premium membership. Learn by doing and help the world become a better place by adding to the number of smart people in it. Thanks again to Brilliant for sponsoring this video. All right, it's time for the main event. Let's discuss Booster 7's epic static fire. This highly anticipated test was announced by SpaceX officials in the weeks and days prior, and even on the day of the test, none other than the boss at the top, Elon, tweeted that SpaceX was going for it, so we knew what was coming. After what appeared to be a false start, the vehicle was loaded with propellants in a sequence that lasted about an hour. The LOX tank was fully loaded, and the methane tank was only partially loaded, as expected. This, of course, was done to limit the potential for a large explosion in case something went wrong and SpaceX had a bad day. The hold was eventually cleared, and the FireX fire suppression system spooled up. The result? Wow. Just listen to those Raptors roar. Shortly after the test, we learned from Elon on Twitter that not 33, but instead 31 engines had fired. It turns out that one engine had been shut off prior to the test for an unknown, at least to us, reason, and another engine shut down during startup. But do not fret, thanks to the engine out capability of Super Heavy, this was still enough to make it to orbit, had this happened during Starship's first flight attempt. We continue to get more information over time, and though this test had the potential to break records, it turns out this wasn't the most thrust ever produced by a rocket. SpaceX tweeted the day after that the total thrust produced was about 7.9 million pounds force, or about 3,600 tons. While this is more thrust than the Saturn V rocket, it's still less than SLS and the N1, so Super Heavy doesn't take the number one position yet. However, this test was still quite remarkable. One record that this test did break, though, was the record for most engines ignited on an orbital rocket stage at the same time. Super Heavy's 31 engines beat N1's 30. Another noteworthy tweet came through from Senator and NASA Administrator Bill Nelson, which appeared to indicate that the test was deemed a success by SpaceX and NASA, with Administrator Senator Nelson congratulating them for the test. While we're talking about the test, just a quick reminder that we do have metal prints of the event on shop.nasaspaceflight.com. Great work here from Nick capturing this historic event. And we also have this sweet new Booster 33 engine static fire test shirt, which you can also get on mugs, blankets, and hoodies. Use the code 33ENGINES for 10% off the static fire collection and or Nick's print. Alright, so the test went well, despite being two engines short of a full 33. But how did the pad do? While there was some debris thrown out from the static fire test, the pad appears to be in good condition, barring, of course, some decent scorch marks on the orbital launch mount's legs and the ground. But that's to be expected. There doesn't look to be, say, a giant crater underneath the mount, and the mount itself appears unscathed. What didn't get away unscathed, though, was the new orbital tank farm berm. The flames from the engines were pushed so far away once they hit the ground that they were able to reach all the way over to the berm and produce some light scorching. This appears to be no big deal. The berm did its job, and the tank farm lives to provide commodities for further testing and eventually launch. And finally, to bookend this update, after the static fire, SpaceX didn't waste any time getting back to work installing the water deluge system. They resumed digging what we suspect to be a trench that will hold the water pipes for that system, although this could just be for a new retaining wall or perhaps even the beginning of a berm similar to the one next to the orbital tank farm. We'll of course keep our eyes on this area in search of any fresh developments. It's been a huge week, with that historic booster static fire, work on Ship 24 and work on the deluge system, as well as work around the site. Alright, that's it for this video. Thanks for watching and stay tuned for the next one. And don't forget, be excellent to each other.